Wow, thank you, band. Wonderful job. Where else but here could you get traditional Neathought music, country music, and music from a movie score?
Yeah, exactly.
Here we are.
It was Song of the Year.
Yes, enjoy. I'm excited about this month. It is going to be a month of curiosity. Now, we've been interested in curiosity for some time. I did some research about, you've heard the old quote, curiosity killed the cat. And I can't find anywhere why it is that we use that. I know what it means, but why it means that, I just don't know. But there it is. It showed up somewhere in the early 1800s in the English language. In 1840, Charles Dickens wrote the novel, The Old Curiosity Shop. In 1865, Alice in Wonderland was written, and in one specific place, Alice talks about Wonderland by saying it's curiouser and curiouser. In 2011, NASA dropped the rover on the surface of Mars to move around and take pictures and send back data, and that rover just happens to be called Curiosity. And also, a cable television channel was launched in 2015 called Curiosity Stream. So it's been in our mind and our heart for quite some time, and we'll continue it through this whole month. Now, our affirmation for this month is, I live in a world of wonder. And that word wonder brought a lot of things to my mind. One was a poem that I wrote, a tiny little poem I wrote before Christmas this past, was 2018. I wade into the wonder, I soak into the splendor, I dissolve into the delight, I evaporate into the ecstasy, and it is yet barely Tuesday. Right. So our affirmation for this month is, again, I live in a world of wonder. The other thing that came to mind was from another movie, 1968, when 2001 A Space Odyssey came out. Dave, the main astronaut in the movie, was at a pivotal moment in the show, in the movie, and he said, something wonderful is going to happen. And ever since the first time I saw that movie, that phrase has haunted me in a positive way. Something wonderful is going to happen. It kind of runs through my mind all the time. Now, there are two perspectives, I think, that we can look at this idea of wonder from. One is wonder as a noun. Wonder as an idea, a concept, an archetypal image, a thing of some sort that engenders in us awe, amazement, intrigue, asking questions, wondering about it, all of those things. And we can, as we see wonder as this noun, whatever it may be, we can watch it, we can observe it, we can witness it, we can even receive things from it. So we can be engaged with wonder as this noun. And one of the places that we can look is in nature. I mean, nature is full of wonder, don't you think? And here in South Florida, we have several zoos where you can go as soon as the restrictions are lifted on us, but you can go to a zoo and see things that you wouldn't ordinarily get to see and be amazed by that. You can see all kinds of reptiles and all kinds of animals and birds and everything else. Also very close by here, we have Butterfly World, where you can see hundreds and hundreds of different kinds of butterflies and stand there with your mouth hanging open, just being amazed at what you see. I've not seen one here, but in Colorado there was a Butterfly World there, or a butterfly pavilion there, and there were some blue butterflies that were neon blue, and they were about this big around. They were just amazing. What wonder was there? So we can see so many things there in the zoo that stimulate that idea of wonder in us and bring that to our mind. We can also look at other people and wonder about people. You see how people are, the way they act, the way they think, the way they speak, and just wonder what it would be like to be that person. If somebody acts in an inappropriate way toward you, you can stop and think, I wonder what it's like to be that person right now where they're acting in this horrible way, what it must feel like, what it must be. And we can think about that. We can consider that. We can observe that behavior that's going on there and get involved in it in that way of watching it and learning from that as well. We can learn from religion. What would it be like to be a Pentecostal, a snake-handling, tongue-speaking Pentecostal? What would that be like? What would the experience be like of being a Catholic or an Orthodox Jew or Hindu or a Muslim? What about all those possibilities that are there that we can wonder about? What it would be like to go through a day holding those beliefs? Suppose you were an atheist, didn't believe in God at all. What would a day be like holding that belief? What would it be like when you were disappointed? What about when you were excited? What about when you were afraid? What would it be like? The wonder that is there from different spiritual perspectives. So we could go on and on and on looking at wonder as a noun, as an abstract thing out there somewhere, and how we might see it, how we might interact with it. That could go on and on for us. So we could do nature. We can do, science is the other thing I was going to mention. One of the things that always fascinated me about science is the study of the very, very large and the very, very small. As you know, in regular 3D time and space, Newtonian physics does the job for us. We can measure things, we can engineer things, and that works just fine. But at some point, when you start getting smaller and smaller and smaller, Newtonian physics breaks down, and the math that goes along with it breaks down, and we have to move into quantum physics and quantum mechanics to understand it. And it's the same way when we go the other direction. If we get larger and larger and larger, at some point, the laws that operate in that realm aren't the ones we're familiar with here. I heard an astronomer say one time that one of the reasons that despite our efforts to find intelligent life somewhere else in the universe, one of the reasons that we haven't seen that is because it's very likely that if there are other civilizations, they operate on another level, either much smaller or much larger, and have a completely different set of laws around physics, around math and everything, and we're looking for them using our technology, and they're outside of our technology, so we may be bumping into them and don't even realize it. That's always kind of intrigued me, and looking at the cute little phrases they use, like picometers for tiny, tiny little things, and nanometers for tiny, tiny little things, and I forgot the words now for the great big ones, but they have some unique, interesting words you don't hear very often because it talks about huge numbers. I heard something else new the other day. You've all heard of light years. A light year is the distance that light will travel in the span of a year's time at 186,000 miles per second. A light year is pretty big. But given the technology we have now to look out into the universe and see further and further and further into the universe, they're now talking about not only light years, but light centuries, which means the distance that light will travel going 186,000 miles per second in a century. I mean, that just, it makes your head go thump, thump, thump when you even think about that sort of thing. But the wonder is there, that which it engenders questioning. It engenders awe and magnificence that is there. So we have all these areas where we can look at wonder as a noun. Another place we can look at it is with spirituality. We can look deeper and deeper into spirituality. So I wonder about this. Have you ever wondered about if you took forgiveness to the absolute extreme, all the way as far as you could take it, what would it be like? If you took hope as far as it could possibly go, humanly speaking, what would that be like? If you took peace in that direction, if you took power in that direction. Bev's going to be, as she mentioned it to you earlier, teaching her class on the 12 powers coming up here. And with my fascination about curiosity, I really think we ought to make curiosity the 13th power. Ron, I don't know how far I'd get with that, suggesting that, but it would be interesting anyway. So curiosity could be one of those things that we activate in our life that has such a great impact to us. But we could look at all the aspects of spirituality from that perspective of wondering what it would really be like if this was the way it was. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute as I talk about wonder as a verb, which brings me up to that point. We can look at wonder as a noun, as something somewhere, an object or an idea, a feeling, whatever. We can also look at wonder from the point of being a verb. That is, being not just observing and watching the wonder that is there, but engaging it, becoming involved in, even manifesting wonder in our life. That's a different way of looking at it as well. So we can look at wonder from that point of being a verb, and it turns into something that is dynamic and moving and enticing, an experience for us, a creative experience for us. And just as with wonder as a noun, there are a number of different areas that we can look at it here. One is food. I thought this was interesting. Any of you ever eaten dill pickles and mustard? I haven't, but I've heard of that. Mayonnaise and vanilla wafers. I have done that, and that's pretty neat. Yes, it is, believe it or not. And peanut butter and bananas. Well, peanut butter on anything just pretty much works. I heard something the other day that I couldn't quite wrap my head around. That is chocolate bacon. Yeah, that just didn't seem to go. But the possibilities are there. Yeah, and the wonder that goes along with that, of experiencing that. I made a salad the other night. The first time I'd ever made it, it was really good. We had oranges and radishes and pomegranate. That was the one I couldn't think of. And pistachio and an orange juice dressing to go on it. And all those flavors went together in a way that I didn't expect. And it was just amazing, wonderful, wonderful. So there are all kinds of things you can do with food as an experience as such. Now, I used to watch a show on cable called Andrew Zimmern and Bizarre Foods. Some of you have heard that he traveled all over the world eating the most incredible, amazing, awful things you can imagine. And it was kind of vicarious experience watching him do that and the expression on his face when he ate some of these things. But I would be glad to leave that to him, and I'll just watch it happen along the way. So there are all kinds of possibilities there with our food and doing things that we've never done before. I remember the first time when we went to Disney World and got a turkey leg. That was a new experience, to be walking around with a turkey leg in your hand. My manners from my southern upbringing were quite threatened or challenged by that, but I did it anyway, and it turned out to be quite an experience in and of itself. So we can look at food from that place of wonder as a verb. Wonder, creating wonder, not just looking at it, but making it happen, manifesting it, demonstrating it, creating that. We can also look at personality from that point of wonder as a verb. And each of us probably have some sense about ourselves, about whether we're extroverts or introverts. And you've heard my story, you know that I'm a blow the bottom out of the scale introvert when I take one of those tests. So what would happen if I played with this a little bit, is I'd say, okay, I'd get up in the morning and say, okay, now today I'm going to experience wonder because I'm going to live my life as if I were an extrovert. So instead of doing what I usually do as an introvert, I'm going to do what an extrovert was and just see what it's like, see what that experience brings to me and the wonder that it brings. I might find some things that I really like, something I've missed, something that would be helpful to me. Because to be one thing all the way, all the time, you're going to miss something along the way. And my daddy used to say that if the only tool you have is a hammer, then everything looks like a nail. So when we get stuck in those places, so this opportunity of using wonder and imagining and playing these scenarios out could be a very good thing for us. When you think about personality, being patient or impatient, play with that a little bit. If you pride yourself on being a patient person, then go through at least part of a day allowing yourself to feel impatient when the situation comes up. And watch that wonder being played out in that way. So over and over we could do these things to bring different kinds of experiences to ourselves. We can also do this spirituality of living this, not just thinking about it, not just imagining what hope would be to the extreme end, not just imagining what forgiveness would be, not just imagining what radical and instantaneous healing would be, but putting yourself in a place of experiencing that. If it is forgiveness, then we all have somebody we haven't forgiven along the way. And play that out. Imagine what you would need to do to actually bring that forgiveness into fulfillment. Imagine what you would need to do or what you are doing to bring about spontaneous healing in your life. Whatever it is that you can think about, that you wonder about, you can put into motion by doing certain things. Allow your mind to play that out for you. Allow your body to act that out for you. Allow yourself to experience that in a wondrous kind of way. There's religion, spirituality there that takes us to an extreme. This is the one I wanted to mention about religion. You know enough about some of the other religions to play with this a little bit. But again, plan for part of your day. You're going to live part of your day as an Orthodox Jew. You live part of your day as a devout Christian. Live part of your day as a snake-handling Pentecost. part of your day as an Episcopalian. What would that mean? When you have a phone call to make, would your phone call be any different depending on which one of those roles you stepped into? If you're going to deal with some of the feelings that you have, how would that vary among those people who believe different things? Really interesting to play with that. It's amazing the awesomeness and the wonderful ideas that come up out of that. So we have that ability to do that. One of our 12 powers is imagination, of course, and we can activate that when we start playing with these ideas of wonder and all the things that are in our world. Our affirmation for the month, I live in a world of wonder. And that phrase keeps coming to my mind, something wonderful is going to happen. When you are playing with the idea of wonder as a noun, let that phrase run through your mind, something wonderful is going to happen because of this. When you start playing with that idea of wonder as a verb and creating something and living something out there, allow that phrase to run through your mind, something wonderful is going to happen. So no matter what you do, which way you look, what you bring up within you, whether you're observing or whether you're engaging, allow that phrase to run through your mind, something wonderful is going to happen. I'm going to close with another poem. It's called This Do. The brisk breeze ruffled the leg of my trousers, and I remembered a small hand with pudgy fingers tugging on my pants leg. The spray of the fountain splattered in the pool, and I remembered that marvelous revelation arriving at waterfall's edge. The teasing aroma of just cooked breakfast beckoned, and I remembered early Sunday summer vacation mornings, red-eye gravy, biscuits, and daddy. The buzzard freely soared hundreds of feet above, and I remembered moments of bliss, freedom, and oneness, the sparkling expanse of grace and prayer. My friend offered a smiling hug, and I remembered blessing light in darkness, divine love embracing in warm newness. 100 ways today God spoke, and I remembered. So I invite you to carry with you through this week and actually through this month, something wonderful is going to happen.